bright light flows down a blue screen, painting a pale blue fairy castle, the logo of Walt Disney Pictures. Words appear, distributed by Buena Vista Film Distribution Company, Incorporated. Walt Disney presents Sleeping Beauty.
I know you, I walk with you once upon a dream. I know you, the gleam in your eyes is so familiar a gleam. Yeah, I know it's true that visions are seldom all they seem. But if I know you, I know what you'll do. You love me at once, the way you did once upon a dream.
With the voice talents of Mary Costa, Eleanor Audley, Barbara Luddy, Taylor Holmes, Bill Shirley, Verna Felton, Barbara Jo Allen, Bill Thompson. Desk lies a book with a gold cover studded with red, yellow, and green jewels. A decoration of briar roses twines across the cover, and above it are the words Sleeping Beauty. The book opens to reveal a picture of a castle with yellow walls and high towers gleaming in the sunshine.
In a faraway land, long ago, lived a king and his fair queen. Many years had they longed for a child, and finally their wish was granted. A daughter was born, and they called her Aurora.
Sweet Aurora.
Yes, they named her after the dawn, for she filled their lives with sunshine. Then a great holiday was proclaimed throughout the kingdom, so that all of high or low estate might pay homage to the infant princess. And our story begins on that most joyful day.
On that joyful day, on that joyful day.
Crowds head for the castle.
Joyfully now to our princess we come, bringing gifts and all good wishes to repledge our loyalty anew. Hail to the Princess Aurora.
This great and joyous day did all the kingdom celebrate the long-awaited royal birth. And good King Stefan and his queen made welcome their lifelong friend.
Royal musicians play their long golden trumpets.
Their royal highnesses, King Hubert and Prince Philip.
Fondly had these monarchs dreamed one day their kingdoms to unite. Thus today would they announce that Philip, Hubert's son and heir, to Stefan's child would be betrothed.
Philip, small and fair-haired, held a golden casket.
And so to her his gift he brought, and looked unknowing on his future bride.
Philip peers at the baby and scowls. Three plump and smiling women float down a twinkling sunbeam to the floor.
Their most honored and exalted excellencies, the three good fairies.
They have wings, tall pointed hats, and long dresses.
Mistress Flora.
All in pink.
Mistress Fauna.
All in green.
And Mistress Merriweather.
All in blue. They take off again and fly the length of the hall towards the king and queen, their little black shoes poking out from layers of white petticoats. They peer into the cradle.
Oh, the little darling.
Flora, in pink, leads the others to the king and queen.
Your Majesties,
each of us the child may bless with a single gift. No more, no less.
Flora flies back to the cradle.
Little princess, my gift shall be the gift of beauty.
She waves her wand and sparkling stars make a pink and blue magic cloud. The magic princess appears in the cloud and turns into sparkling stars which drift into the cradle. Fauna approaches.
Tiny princess, my gift shall be the gift of song.
Fauna waves her wand. The magic cloud appears full of flying birds. One of the birds perches on the hand of the magic princess. Comes twinkling lights again, which drift into the cradle as Merriweather arrives beside it.
Sweet princess, my gift shall be the...
The huge wooden doors of the hall fly open. Hanging flags wave violently. Nervously, the king and queen stand. Darkness descends, the only light coming from the vivid flashes of lightning. From a flickering green flame rises the tall, cold and beautiful figure of a wicked fairy in a black headdress and a flowing black cloak lined with purple.
Why, it's Maleficent.
What does she want here?
Shh. Well, quite a glittering assemblage, King Stefan. Royalty, nobility, the gentry, and... Oh, how quaint. Even the rabble. I really felt quite distressed at not receiving an invitation.
You weren't wanted.
Not what? Oh dear, what an awkward situation. I had hoped it was merely due to some oversight. Well, in that event, I'd best be on my way.
And you're not offended, Your Excellency?
Why, no, Your Majesty. And to show I bear no ill will, I too shall bestow a gift on the child.
The fairies surround the cradle.
Listen well, all of you. The princess shall indeed grow in grace and beauty, beloved by all who know her.
Maleficent holds up a warning finger.
But...
She rubs the crystal ball on her staff.
Before the sun sets on her 16th birthday, she shall prick her finger on the spindle of a spinning wheel and die.
Seize that creature!
Stand back, you fool!
Soldiers step forward, but Maleficent disappears in a blaze of green flames, and her black raven flies out of the hall. Flora turns to the king and queen.
Don't despair, Your Majesties. Merriweather still has her gift to give.
Then she can undo this fearful curse?
Oh, no, sire.
Maleficent's powers are far too great.
But she can help.
Flora and Fauna push Merriweather to the cradle.
But just do your best, dear.
Yes, go on.
Merriweather raises her wand.
Sweet princess, if through this wicked witch's trick a spindle should your finger prick, a ray of hope there still may be in this, the gift I give to thee. Not in death, but just in sleep, the fateful prophecy you'll keep. And from this slumber you shall wake, when true love's kiss the spell shall break.
King Stefan, still fearful of his daughter's life, did then and there decree that every spinning wheel in the kingdom should on that very day be burned. So 'twas done.
Night. Fire sweeps through a huge stack of spinning wheels in the castle courtyard. A great column of smoke rises from the blaze, glowing red against the dark night sky. Flora turns away from the window of a room high above the courtyard and flutters over to Fauna and Merryweather.
Silly fiddle-faddle.
Fauna conjures up a teapot and cups.
Now, come have a nice cup of tea, dear. I'm sure it'll work out somehow.
Well, a bonfire won't stop Maleficent.
Of course not. But what will?
Well, perhaps if we reason with her.
Reason? With Maleficent?
Well, she can't be all bad.
Oh, yes, she can.
I'd like to turn her into a fat old hop toad.
Now, dear, that isn't a very nice thing to say.
Besides, we can. You know our magic doesn't work that way.
It can only do good, dear, to bring joy and happiness.
Well, that would make me happy.
But there must be some way.
Flora's eyes open wide.
There is.
There is? What is it, Flora?
I'm going to... Even walls have ears.
Flora hurries across the room and peers behind a curtain.
Follow me.
Flora waves her wand. Fauna does the same, and they both become tiny like plump little butterflies. Merryweather sees them flying into a small cupboard. She waves her wand and follows them, locking the door behind her.
I'll turn her into a flower.
Maleficent?
Oh, no, dear. The princess.
Oh, she'd make a lovely flower.
Don't you see? A flower can't prick its finger.
It has nails.
No, that's right. She'll be perfectly safe.
Until Maleficent sends a frost.
Yes. Oh, dear.
She always ruins your nicest flowers.
You're right. And she'll be expecting us to do something like that.
Well, what won't she expect? She knows everything.
Oh, but she doesn't, dear. Maleficent doesn't know anything about love. Or kindness, or the joy of helping others. You know, sometimes I don't think she's really very happy.
That's it. Of course. It's the only thing she can't understand and won't expect. Oh. Now, we'll have to plan it carefully. Let's see, the woodcutter's cottage. Yes, the abandoned one. Of course, the king and queen will object. But when we explain, it's the only way.
Explain what?
About the three peasant women raising a foundling child deep in the forest.
Oh, well, that's very nice of them.
Who are they?
Turn around.
Flora waves her wand.
Why, it's us.
Uh-huh.
You mean we, us?
Uh-huh.
Take care of the baby?
Why not?
Oh, I'd like that.
Well, yes, but we would have to feed it.
And wash it and dress it and rock it to sleep.
Oh, I'd love it.
You really think we can?
If humans can do it, so can we.
And we'd have our magic to help us.
That's right.
No. No magic. I'll take those wands right now. Oh, better get rid of those wings, too.
You mean live like mortals? For 16 years?
Uh-huh.
But now we don't know how. We've never done anything without magic.
And that's why Maleficent will never suspect.
But who'll wash? And cook?
Oh, we'll all pitch in.
I'll take care of the baby.
Let me have it, dear.
Flora grabs Merryweather's wand.
Come along now. We must tell their majesties at once.
Flora steps out of the cupboard and makes herself full size again.
Flora!
She turns back, waves her wand again, and Fauna and Merryweather return to full size too.
So the king and his queen watched with heavy hearts as their most precious possession, their only child, disappeared into the night.
By moonlight, Flora carefully opens the castle gate and peeps both ways. Behind her, Fauna pulls a blanket around the baby's head, and Merryweather trots after as Flora hurries them away from the castle and into the woods.
Many sad and lonely years passed by for King Stefan and his people. But as the time for the princess's 16th birthday drew near, the entire kingdom began to rejoice. For everyone knew that as long as Maleficent's domain, the Forbidden Mountains, thundered with her wrath and frustration, her evil prophecy had not yet been fulfilled.
Lightning flashes on a dark, spiky castle perched on a tall mountain. Inside, Maleficent shakes her fists in the air, watched by her animal soldiers.
It's incredible! 16 yins, and not a trace of her. She couldn't have vanished into thin air. Are you sure you searched everywhere?
Yep, everywhere. We all did.
And what about the town, the forest, the mountains?
We searched mountains, forests, and houses, and in all the cradles.
Cradle?
Yep. Every cradle.
Cradle!
She turns to her raven.
Did you hear that, my pet? All these years they've been looking for a baby.
Oh!
The pig soldier backs away.
Idiots! Imbeciles!
She points her staff at the soldiers who tumble downstairs with purple lightning fizzing all over their bodies.
Out!
With her soldiers all hiding, Maleficent sits on her tall carved throne.
Oh, they're hopeless. A disgrace to the forces of evil.
The raven flies up to her.
Oh, my pet, you are my last hope. Circle far and wide. Search for a maid of 16, with hair of sunshine gold and lips red as the rose. Go, and do not fail me.
The raven flies out into the night through a hole in the stone wall of the castle.
And so for 16 long years, the whereabouts of the princess remained a mystery. While deep in the forest, in a woodcutter's cottage, the good fairies carried out their well-laid plan. Living like mortals, they had reared the child as their own and called her Briar Rose.
Briar, a girl with long fair hair, is dusting a little cottage.
On this, her 16th birthday, the good fairies had planned a party and something extra special for a surprise.
Well, now, how about this one?
This is the one I picked.
Oh, she'll look beautiful in that.
Now, I thought a few changes here.
Uh-huh. And don't forget a pretty bow.
Yes, and raise the shoulder line.
We'll make it blue.
Oh, no, dear, pink.
But
of course, we'll need a few pleats.
Yes, but how are we going to get her out of the house?
Oh, I'll think of something.
Well.
And what are you three dears up to?
Up to?
Up to?
Up to?
We
want you to pick some berries.
That's it, berries.
Berries?
Lots of berries.
But I picked berries yesterday.
Oh, we need more, dear.
Lots more.
Yes.
Briar smiles to herself.
Now don't hurry back, dear.
But don't go too far.
And don't speak to strangers.
Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye.
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 Briar heads into the woods, watched by the good fairies.
I wonder if she suspects.
Of course not. Come on. Oh, will she be surprised?
A real birthday party with a real birthday cake.
Yes, and a dress a princess can be proud of.
I'll get the wands.
Yes, you can. The wands?
Oh, no.
No magic.
But the 16 years are almost over.
We're taking no chances.
But I've never baked a fancy cake.
Oh, you won't have to, dear.
I'm going to bake the cake.
You? Oh, she's always wanted to, dear. And this is her last chance.
Well, I'm going to make it 15 layers with pink and blue forget-me-not.
And I'm making the dress.
But you can't sew. And she's never cooked.
Oh, it's simple.
All you do is follow the book.
Up here, dear.
Flora gets a stool.
You can be the dummy.
Well, I still say we ought to use magic.
Flora throws some pink cloth over Meriwether's head and starts cutting it. Fauna puts down some bowls and looks at a cookbook.
Flour, 3 cups. Cups.
Fauna takes 3 different sized cups, while Flora cuts a big hole in the cloth.
1, 2, 3.
What's that for?
Well, it's got to have a hole in the bottom. That's for the feet to go through.
Flora throws more cloth over Meriwether's head.
It's pink.
Oh, lovely shade, isn't it?
But I wanted it blue.
Now, dear, we decided pink was our color.
You decided.
Flora throws the rest of the cloth over the struggling Meriwether. And ties a ribbon round her. Fauna looks at the book again.
Two eggs, fold in gently. Fold? Oh, well.
She puts two whole eggs into her bowl and pushes hard. Fauna's eyes open wide. Flora cuts a bunch of cloth. Meriwether's head appears through the hole in the top of the cloth.
It looks awful.
That's because it's on you, dear.
Now, yeast, one tisp.
Tisp? One teaspoon.
Oh, one teaspoon, of course.
Fauna adds yeast, salt, and lots of pepper, while Flora measures Meriwether's height, including the stool.
Oh, gracious, how that child has grown.
Oh, it seems only yesterday we brought her here. Just a tiny baby.
Fauna strokes the dough like a baby as Meriwether dabs away a tear.
Why, Meriwether?
Whatever is the matter, dear?
After today, she'll be a princess. And we won't have any briar rose.
Oh, Flora!
Now. Well, we all knew this day had to come.
Flora's crying.
But why did it have to come so soon?
After all, we've had her for 16 years.
16 wonderful years.
Good gracious, we're acting like a lot of ninnies. Come on, she'll be back before we get started.
Briar is strolling through a green clearing in the forest, carrying a wicker basket for the berries. A tiny bluebird swoops down to her. Cardinal bird joins in. The cardinal tugs two rabbits from a hollow log and wakes a squirrel on a branch. Who wakes a sleepy owl. With the birds flying above, the squirrel in front and the rabbits behind, Briar crosses a log bridge. In the forest below, a young man wearing a red cloak and a hat with a feather in it is riding by. He turns to listen to Briar.
Hear that, Samson?
The horse scowls.
Beautiful. What is it? Come on, let's find out.
He turns Samson around, but the horse turns back again.
Oh, come on. For an extra bucket of oats?
Samson's eyes open wide.
And a few carrots?
Samson grins and nods.
Hop, boy!
They gallop off through the forest, under the trees, in and out of the shadows, skidding to a halt when they hear Briar again. The young man swings Samson around and they gallop towards the sound of the voice, jumping over a fallen log, the young man ducking under a low branch. They leap high over another log, but the horse lands on the ground without the young man. Samson stops. The young man is sitting in a shallow stream with his hat over his eyes. Samson pulls the hat off, the man flicks water at him.
No carrots.
Briar is picking berries with the animals and birds around her. She looks up at a pair of courting birds.
I wonder wonder why each little bird has a someone to sing to, sweet things to, a gay little lark melody. I wonder if my heart keeps singing, will my song go winging to someone who'll find me and bring back a love song to me.
She gazes at the distant castle and turns away.
Oh, dear. Why do they still treat me like a child?
The owl flutters in front of her.
Ooh. I'm Flora, and Fauna, and Merryweather.
She sits by a pool.
They never want me to meet anyone.
The birds and animals gather round, watching her.
But you know something? I fooled them. I have met someone.
Ooh. Briar stands and walks away, smiling.
Ooh. Ooh.
She turns back to them.
Oh, a prince?
Three little birds dart about in front of her.
Well, he's tall and handsome and so romantic. Oh, we walk together and talk together. And just before we say goodbye, he takes me in his arms. And then I wake up.
The birds look miserable.
Yes, it's only in my dream. But they say if you dream a thing more than once, it's sure to come true. And I've seen him so many times.
A squirrel spots a cloak and hat on a branch. He throws an acorn at the owl, which bounces off his head and hits two other birds. The squirrel beckons to them and whispers in the owl's ear. They all look at the cloak and hat, and the owl gathers them around him. The squirrel scurries down the tree trunk, taps a rabbit on the head, and the rabbits scamper off. The squirrel rushes through the trees, and the birds fly to the cloak and hat. The squirrel picks up the hat as if he's going to try it on.
You know, Samson, there was something strange about that voice. Too beautiful to be real.
The rabbits jump into his empty boots.
Maybe it was some mysterious being, a wood sprite, or Here! Stop!
The rabbits bounce away in his boots, and the cloak and hat fly away with them. On a branch, the birds wrap the owl in the cloak and put the hat on his head. The squirrel pushes the boots under the branch, and the birds push the owl off on top of the boots. The rabbits bounce along in the boots. Two little birds carry the cloak. The owl in the hat with the cloak and boots underneath looks like a young man. Briar looks round.
Why, it's my dream prince. Your Highness.
She curtsies. And the owl bows and they dance.
No, I'm really not supposed to speak to strangers. But we've met before.
I know you. I walked with you once upon a dream. I know you, the gleam in your eyes is so familiar a gleam. Yet I know it's true, that visions are seldom all they seem. But if I know you, I know what you'll do. You'll love me at once, the way you did once upon a
The young man is watching.
La, la, la.
While Briar has her back to him, he yanks the cloak aside and dances with her himself.
I know you, I know what you'll do. You'll love me at once.
The way you did once upon a Oh. She pulls away from him.
Oh!
I'm awfully sorry. I didn't mean to frighten you.
Oh, it wasn't that. It's just that you're
a stranger?
Mm-hmm.
But don't you remember? We've met before.
We have?
Well, of course. You said so yourself. Once upon a dream.
I know you. I walked with you once upon a dream. I know you. The gleam in your eyes is so familiar, a gleam.
They dance by the lake.
If I know you, I know what you'll do. You'll love me at once, the way you did once upon.
They stand at the edge of the forest with his arm around her waist and her head on his shoulder.
Who are you? What's your name?
She looks up at him dreamily.
Oh, my name. Why, it's...
She backs away.
Oh, no, I can't, I...
She ducks under a branch and runs.
Goodbye!
But when will I see you again?
Oh, never, never!
Never?
She hesitates.
Well, maybe someday...
When? Tomorrow?
Oh, no! This evening!
Where?
At the cottage, in the glen.
He watches her race away. In the cottage, Fauna lights candles on a wobbly cake.
There!
The cake leans over and Fauna props it up with a broomstick. The icing and candles slide down the broom handle.
Well, what do you think of it?
Why, it's a very unusual cake, isn't it?
Yes.
Fauna rescues the candles.
Of course, it'll be much stiffer after it's baked.
Of course, dear. What do you think of the dress?
Well, it's not exactly the way it is in the book, is it?
Oh, I improved it. But perhaps if I added a few more ruffles, what do you think?
I think so. What do you think, Meriwether?
I think we've had enough of this nonsense. I think we ought to think of Rose and what she'll think of this mess.
The dress falls apart.
I still think what I thought before. I'm going to get those ones.
The cake collapses.
You know, I think she's right.
Here they are, good as new.
Careful, Meriwether.
Flora snatches them.
Quick, lock the doors. Fauna, you close the windows. Oh, plug up every cranny. We can't take any chances. Now, you take care of the cake while I clean the room, dear, and I'll make the dress. Now hurry.
Come on, bucket, mop, broom. Flora says clean up the room.
The mop and broom waddle down some stairs. The wooden bucket hops behind and they all start cleaning the cottage. Flora pulls out more pink cloth.
And now to make a lovely dress fit to grace a fair princess.
A long dress with a full skirt springs up.
Eggs, flour, linen.
They gather round.
Just do it like it says here in the book. I'll put on the candles.
A cub tips three lots of flour from the flour bag into a bowl while eggs crack themselves. The jug pours in milk and the spoon beats them all together. Meriwether makes the furniture hop into the air while the broom sweeps up a pile of dust. Meriwether can't think what to do with the dust, waves her wand and it disappears. Fauna watches the last ingredients go into the bowl, which tips out a perfect four-tiered cake. With a big smile, Flora waves her wand at the scissors, which cut out long sleeves. A needle stitches them up and after another wave of her wand, sews them onto the dress. Meriwether dances around the cottage, directing the mop to wash the floor. Meriwether twirls around. Fauna lifts one foot, then rises off the floor completely for the mop to wash underneath. Meriwether dances backwards with the mop following until she sees the dress.
Oh, no, not pink. Make it blue.
She does.
Meriwether, make it pink.
Flora makes it pink. Meriwether turns and sees the pink dress.
Make it blue.
The dress turns blue.
Pink!
And Pink, Merriweather, dances another few steps.
Blue!
And accidentally turns Flora's own dress blue. And Flora turns Merriweather's dress pink. Flora goes blue. Merriweather pink. Flora blue. The two fairies fire off showers of pink and blue magic sparks, which fill the cottage and shoot up the chimney like coloured smoke. Gliding high above the river, Maleficent's raven sees the sparks. He flaps his wings and flies to the cottage. He lands on the roof next to the two chimney pots with sparks whizzing up them and looks down one. Inside, Merriweather is hiding behind a tub of dirty dishes, Flora behind a chair, the sparks flying and their dresses changing from pink to blue and back again. Suddenly, they both hit Briar's dress, turning it a horrid mixture of blue with pink stains.
Now look what you've done!
Fauna looks up.
Listen! It's Rose.
She's back. Enough of this foolishness.
Merriweather magics the dishes clean. Flora looks at the dress.
Make it pink. Now hide, quick.
Fauna lights the candles on the cake. Merriweather looks at the dress.
And Flora.
Briar runs up the path to the cottage.
Good gracious. Who left the mop running? Stop, mop.
The mop flops onto the floor.
And Flora. Fauna. Merriweather.
The raven peeps through the door behind Briar.
Where is everybody?
She sees the dress and cake.
Surprise! Surprise!
Happy birthday!
Oh, you darlings. This is the happiest day of my life. Everything's so wonderful. Just wait till you meet him.
Him? Rose. You've met some stranger?
Oh, he's not a stranger. We've met before.
You have? Where?
Once upon a dream.
I know you, I walked with you once upon a dream.
Darling, she's in love.
Oh no, this is terrible.
Why? After all, I am 16.
It isn't that, dear.
You're already betrothed.
Betrothed?
Since the day you were born.
To Prince Philip, dear.
But that's impossible. How could I marry a prince? I'd have to be...
a princess.
And you are, dear.
Princess Aurora.
The raven hears.
Tonight we're taking you back to your father, King Stefan.
And flies off.
But I can't. He's coming here tonight. I promised to meet him.
I'm sorry, child. But you must never see that young man again.
Oh, no. No. I can't believe it. No. No.
She rushes upstairs and throws herself onto her bed.
And we thought she'd be so happy.
Aurora is lying with her face buried in her arms. In the pink evening light, five white doves fly towards the towers of King Stefan's castle. The king is standing on a balcony while fat King Hubert sits at table eating.
No sign of her yet, Hubert. Of course not. Good half hour till sunset.
Hubert bites a chunk from a huge chicken leg.
Excellent bird.
He takes another mouthful.
Go on now, come man. Buck up. Battle's over. Girls as good as here. I'm sorry, Hubert, but after 16 years of worrying, never knowing... The past, all in the past.
He waves to a skinny servant who hurries in with a bottle and fills two small goblets.
Tonight, we toast the future with something I've been saving for 16 years.
Hubert pours wine into two much bigger goblets.
Here, to the future. Right, Hubert, to the future.
The servant gulps wine from one of the small goblets.
Scumps! Scumps!
Scumps!
A toast to this night.
The outlook is rosy.
The future is bright.
Our children will marry.
Our kingdoms unite. Scumps! Scumps! Scumps!
The two kings drink and the servant empties the second small goblet.
Ah! Excellent vintage!
A silly grin comes over the servant's face.
And now, to the new home, eh?
New home?
Children need a nest of their own, what? Place to raise their little brood, eh?
Well, I suppose, in time...
Of course! To the home! Scumps!
Scumps!
A toast to the home.
One grander by far than a palace in Rome.
Let me fill up your glass. That last was all foam.
Scumps!
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 The servant staggers as he tries to dance and play the lute. He breaks a string.
The plans!
He rushes over to King Stefan, holds up a scroll, and nearly falls over onto the king.
Well, what do you think? Nothing elaborate, of course. 40 bedrooms, dining hall, honeymoon cottage, really.
You mean you're building it already?
Built, man! Finished! Lovebirds can move in tomorrow.
Tomorrow? But Hubert, they're not even married yet.
Take care of that tonight, for the wedding!
Hold on, Hubert. I haven't even seen my daughter yet, and you're taking her away from me.
Getting my Philip, aren't you?
Yes, but...
Want to see our grandchildren, don't we?
Of course, but...
Well, there's no time to lose. Getting on in years. To the wedding!
Now be reasonable, Hubert. After all, Aurora knows nothing about all this.
Well?
Well, it may come as quite a shock.
Shock? My Philip, a shock? What's wrong with my Philip?
Nothing, Hubert. I only meant...
Why doesn't your daughter like my son?
Now.
I'm not so sure my son likes your daughter.
Now, see here.
I'm not so sure my grandchildren want you for a grandfather.
Why, you unreasonable, pompous, blustering old windbag.
Unreasonable. Pompous! On guard, sir!
I warn you, Hubert, this means war!
Forward! For honor! For country! What's this all about, anyway?
Nothing, Hubert. Absolutely nothing!
Children bound to fall in love with each other.
Precisely. And as for grandchildren, I'll have the royal woodcarvers start work on the cradle tomorrow.
Splendid! King size, of course!
Certainly! To the Woodcarver's Guild!
The two kings look around, then lift the tablecloth. Under the table, the servant is fast asleep with his head in the lute, snoring through the strings.
Philip!
The young man Aurora met in the forest gallops into the castle courtyard.
Philip! Philip!
Hubert scurries out to meet him.
Philip! Oh, Philip!
Hubert chases after Philip, who stops and looks round. The old fat king trots up to him.
Hurry, boy! Hurry! Change into something suitable. Can't meet your future bride looking like that.
But I have met her, father.
You have? Where?
Once upon a dream.
He picks the king up.
Philip! Stop it! Stop that! Philip! Put me down!
Philip does.
Now, what's all this dream nonsense?
It wasn't a dream, father. I really did meet her.
The Princess Aurora? Good heavens, we must tell Stefan. Why, this is the most...
I didn't say it was Aurora.
You most certainly did. You said that...
I said I met the girl I was going to marry. I don't know who she was. A peasant girl, I suppose.
A peasant girl? You're going to marry a... Why, Philip, you're joking.
Philip shakes his head. The king looks round at Samson.
Isn't he?
The horse shakes his head.
No, you can't do this to me. Give up the throne, the kingdom, for some nobody? By Harry, I won't have it. You're a prince, and you're going to marry a princess.
Now, father, you're living in the past. This is the 14th century. Nowadays...
Nowadays, I'm still the king, and I command you to come to your senses.
And marry the girl I love.
Exactly.
Goodbye, father.
Goodbye, father. Marry the girl you... No, Philip! Stop! Come back! Oh, Philip!
Philip gallops out of the courtyard and into the forest. The king rushes to the drawbridge after him.
Philip!
The king turns away, hands behind his back, and stomps slowly back into the courtyard. He stops at the foot of the stone staircase, shakes his head, and sits heavily on the bottom step. He takes off his crown, wipes his forehead, and rests his head on his hand.
How will I ever tell Stefan?
It is evening in the forest. Flora, once again in her fairy clothes, leads the way along a path. Aurora, who is almost invisible, wrapped in a full-length blue cloak with a hood, follows her. Behind her are Fauna and Merryweather. Flora looks cautiously around her as she goes. At the edge of the forest, she stops, peeks round a tree, and beckons the others onwards towards a bridge over the river. They continue in single file alongside a great stone wall, through a door into a dark cloister, and up a shadowy, twisting stone staircase. At the top of the stairs, Flora stops, peers around a corner, and waves the others forward.
Come along now.
Merryweather, last in line, checks behind her, then follows along a corridor with a coat of arms on the wall. Flora stops behind a stone pillar, puts a finger to her lips, and opens the door to a chamber.
All right. In here, dear.
They file in, and Merryweather shuts the door.
Pull the door, Merryweather. Fauna, pull the drapes. And now, dear, if you'll just sit here.
Aurora sits at a mirror.
This one last gift, dear child, for thee. The symbol of thy royalty. A crown to wear in grace and beauty, as is thy right and royal duty.
Flora puts a crown on Aurora's head.
Now, dear, come.
Aurora slumps forward on the dressing table.
Let her have a few moments alone.
The fairies leave the room.
It's that boy she met. Whatever are we going to do?
In the chamber, a fire is burning in the fireplace. The flames leap up and disappear. A wisp of smoke rises in the darkness and forms a glowing circle like the crystal ball on Maleficent's staff. Eyes like Maleficent's flicker in the shadows. The glowing circle spins in the air, giving off a ghastly green light. Aurora looks up. Her face is green in the strange light. Her eyes are open, wide, and staring. She doesn't blink. She stands, and the cloak falls from her shoulders. She moves towards the light. Outside the room, Merryweather scowls.
Oh, I don't see why she has to marry any old prince.
Now, that's not for us to decide, dear.
Aurora walks slowly towards the enormous fireplace, where the green light twists and whirls. Suddenly, an archway appears at the back of the fireplace.
Maybe we should tell King Stefan about the boy.
Well, why don't we?
Listen! Maleficent!
Rose!
Rose!
Rose.
Oh, why did he leave her alone?
Rose!
Rose!
Aurora walks through the arch, which disappears, leaving a solid brick wall. On the other side of the fireplace, Aurora slowly follows the floating green light up a twisting stone staircase. Round a corner ahead of her, the light flashes brightly. In the chamber, the fairies push at the wall.
Oh. Here.
Flora points her wand.
Rose!
Rose!
Rose! Rose!
Where are you?
The fireplace opens and the fairies peer around. Out of sight above them, Aurora keeps climbing.
Rose!
Rose!
The fairies start up the staircase. Aurora's eyes are still locked on the green light, which slowly leads her up the stairs. Beyond the floating light, the staircase curves away into the darkness.
Rose! Rose! Rose!
The fairies stop to look out of a window and fly on upwards. Above them, Aurora slowly enters the door of another chamber. The fairies check every side room and corridor before continuing up.
Rose!
In the chamber, Aurora watches the glowing green light turn itself into a spinning wheel. Aurora stretches her hand out towards the wheel.
Rose, don't touch anything!
Aurora hesitates.
Touch the spindle. Touch it, I say.
She touches it. The fairies rush in and stop dead.
You poor, simple fools. Thinking you could defeat me. Me, the mistress of all evil.
She flicks aside her cloak.
Well, here's your precious princess.
Aurora's lying on the floor. Maleficent stretches up and fades in a swirl of green smoke.
Rose! Rose!
Oh, I'll never forgive myself.
We're all to blame.
Outside, the orange sun sinks behind grey hills. In the court, the king and queen are sitting on their tall golden thrones. Hubert comes bustling up to them.
Stefan, there's something important I have to tell you.
Not now, Hubert.
But it's about Philip.
Philip? Oh, yes, of course. Philip. Why, where is the boy?
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, send for him immediately.
King Stefan stands. Outside, the people wait with flags flying.
The sun has set. Make ready to welcome your princess.
Fireworks explode in the dark night sky, yellow, blue, and pink. They flash brightly on the grey stone of a high tower. Inside the tower, the good fairies have laid Aurora on a bed, still wearing the blue dress they made for her, and have drawn a blue and gold cover over her. A tear trickles down Flora's cheek. Aurora's golden crown is on her head, and her long fair hair lies thickly across a white pillow. Her hand rests on her breast, and in it she holds a red rose. Fauna looks sadly at the princess, dabbing away her tears with a handkerchief. Tears dribble down Meriwether's plump cheeks, too. Flora covers her face and turns away from the bed. The other two watch as she walks out onto the balcony and leans on the ledge. Fauna and Meriwether join her, and Fauna puts her hand sympathetically on Flora's shoulder.
Poor King Stefan. And the Queen. They'll be heartbroken when they find out.
Flora looks up suddenly and wipes away a tear.
They're not going to.
They aren't.
But we'll put them all to sleep until Rose awakens.
She draws a curtain across the chamber window, taking one last sad look at Aurora, and raises her wand.
Come.
The fairies make themselves tiny and fly down from the tower like fireflies, sprinkling everybody with sparkling magic. King Hubert's eyes begin to close.
Well, just been talking to Philip. Seems he's fallen in love with some peasant girl.
Peasant girl?
Flora swoops down.
Yes, yes.
She lifts Hubert's eyelid with her wand.
The peasant girl? Who is she? Where did he meet her?
Just some peasant girl, he met.
Where? Where?
Once upon a dream.
Once upon a dream. Rose! Prince Philip! Oh!
Flora zooms up to the ceiling of the great hall to meet Fauna and Meriwether.
Come on! We've got to get back to the cottage!
They flit away, except Meriwether, who puts out the last two candles in the darkened hall. She joins the others as they sweep through a window and fly over the courtyard. The lights are out, no water is playing in the fountain, and the people who had come for Aurora's birthday are all fast asleep. Night. Prince Philip is riding Samson through the shadowy forest, his cloak streaming out behind him. He gallops through a moonlit glade towards the water wheel beside the woodman's cottage. He reins in the grey horse and dismounts. The cottage door, he straightens his hat, looks back at the horse and clasps his hands together, asking Samson to wish him luck. Samson grins and nods. Philip knocks.
Come in.
Philip enters the dark cottage, taking off his hat. The door slams behind him. Maleficent watches, a smile on her red lips, as her small animal soldiers jump on Philip and throw ropes around him. Philip fights back, but there are too many soldiers and too many ropes. The raven looks on from a rafter as the soldiers gag the prince, and Maleficent walks over to inspect him by the light of a candle.
Well, this is a pleasant surprise. I set my trap for a peasant, and lo, I catch a prince. Away with him. But gently, my pets. Gently.
Maleficent smiles to herself.
I have plans for our royal guest.
The soldiers haul Philip out of the cottage. The three fairies, still tiny, flit through the forest like glowing moths, each little figure cocooned in her own circle of light, one pink, one green, one blue. They dart between the trees and zoom over the lake, with their reflections whizzing beneath them in the clear, still water. They shoot into the cottage through the open door and immediately return to their normal size. They see Philip's hat on the floor, and Flora picks it up.
Maleficent! She's got Prince Philip!
At the Forbidden Mountain.
But we can't go there.
We can, and we must.
With a look of great determination, Flora bangs her fist into the palm of her hand. Grey, misty clouds swirl about, thick and mysterious. They slowly part to reveal the jagged grey outlines of Maleficent's castle. From the top of one tall, craggy peak runs a drawbridge to the castle itself, which perches on an even higher peak, with many sharp, pointed turrets rising from it. The fairies trot up the first peak and peer nervously over a rock towards the castle. Two huge stone fists grip the thick metal chains by which the drawbridge is raised and lowered. The fairies dash to a pillar at the end of the drawbridge, hide for a moment, then fly onto the drawbridge and hide again behind a stone fist. They tiptoe along the bridge. Flora in the lead holds a finger to her lips. Suddenly, a guard marches out from the castle and they flit back behind the fist. The guard is short and squat with the face of a warthog. Teeth sprout from his bottom jaw like tusks. He looks to right and left and stumps away again. The fairies notice the hole in the castle wall for the drawbridge chain. They shrink to their tiny size and fly through the hole into the castle. Inside, Flora shies away from a guard on her right. Turning left, they almost fly into the nose of a sleeping pig soldier. They flit away again, only to be frightened by a row of gruesome stone dragons. They find a little nook in a stone wall and stop there, out of breath and puffing. They see that light is glowing through an archway in the wall opposite, fly over to it and peep through. Below them, animal soldiers are jigging madly in a circle around a bonfire, some of them waving swords and other weapons above their heads. They're making huge black shadows on the wall behind them, and in front, more soldiers stand watching them. High above them all sits Maleficent. Beneath her headdress with its curving black horns, her long face looks pale. On one arm of her throne leans her long staff with its glittering globe. On the other arm stands her raven, which she's slowly stroking.
What a pity Prince Philip can't be here to enjoy the celebration. Come, we must go to the dungeon and cheer him up.
The raven flies ahead of Maleficent, who glides in her long black gown past a pig soldier and out of sight through another archway. The fairies fly to a ledge behind the soldier and creep carefully along it. They hide for a moment, and when the soldier turns his head away, they fly through the arch after Maleficent. The fairies watch Maleficent's shadow disappearing around a corner. They fly after her, and from the corner see her slowly descending a stone staircase. The raven hovers in front of her for a moment before flying on around another corner. The fairies watch Maleficent unlock a heavy door with a big key and step inside. Maleficent descends into the dungeon. She walks over to Philip, who is sitting chained to the wall by his wrists and ankles.
Oh, come now, Prince Philip. Why some melancholy? A wondrous future lies before you. You, the destined hero of a charming fairy tale come true.
The fairies watch Maleficent rub the crystal globe on her staff.
Behold, King Stefan's castle. And in yonder topmost tower, dreaming of her true love, the Princess Aurora. But see the gracious whim of fate. Why, 'tis the selfsame peasant maid who won the heart of our noble prince but yesterday.
Aurora is sleeping as the fairies left her.
She is indeed most wondrous fair. Gold of sunshine in her hair, lips that shame the red, red rose. In ageless sleep, she finds repose. The years roll by, but 100 years to a steadfast heart are but a day. And now, the gates of the dungeon part, and our prince is free to go his way.
An old man.
Off he rides on his noble steed, a valiant figure, straight and tall, to wake his love with love's first kiss, and prove that true love conquers all.
Philip jumps up.
Why, you...
Laura holds Merriweather back, and the raven looks suspiciously towards the door.
Come, my pet. Let us leave our noble prince with these happy thoughts.
Philip tugs at his chains as Maleficent turns to the door.
A most gratifying day. For the first time in 16 years, I shall sleep well.
As they leave, the raven glares around once more. The fairies watch Maleficent climb to a high tower. When she disappears through an arch, they whiz through a metal grill in the dungeon door and return to full size in front of Prince Philip.
Shh! No time to explain.
With their wands, Flora cuts through the chains on Philip's wrists. Fauna frees his ankles, and Merriweather cuts out the lock on the door. Philip stands.
Wait, Prince Philip. The road to true love may be barred by still many more dangers, which you alone will have to face. So arm thyself with this enchanted shield of virtue and this mighty sword of truth. For these weapons of righteousness will triumph over evil. Now come, we must hurry.
Armed with the sword and shield, Philip follows the fairies out of the dungeon where they meet the raven, who flies off up the stairs. Philip leads the fairies in the opposite direction up another set of stairs. Halfway up, he sees the raven leading Maleficent's animal soldiers towards them. The fairies shrink themselves and fly through a window, but Philip has to stop and fight off the soldiers, swinging his gleaming sword, keeping the fierce animals back. He jumps out onto a narrow wall and slides on his back down a crumbling buttress. Samson, who is chained to a stone, rears up. The raven spots Philip and alerts the soldiers, who shove huge boulders off the castle wall directly above him. Samson sees the boulders hurtling down.
Philip, watch out!
Flora waves her wand and the boulders become soap bubbles. Gently floating down, Philip races towards Samson as soldiers fire a shower of arrows at him. He holds up his shield, but Flora turns them all into blue flowers. Merriweather cuts through Samson's chain. Philip leaps onto the horse and, with the tiny fairies close behind, gallops through the castle grounds. The soldiers pour down boiling oil from massive black tubs. Flora converts the oil into a shimmering rainbow and Philip gallops safely under it. Merriweather, with a furious look, turns and chases the raven back to the castle, waving her wand. The raven ducks the magic sparks. Merriweather shakes all over with rage and chases him to Maleficent's highest tower. The raven flies around it, but Merriweather stops and waits for him. She turns the raven to stone and flies off. Maleficent appears.
Silence!
She looks at the raven.
You, tell those fools to... No. No!
She sees Philip. The drawbridge starts to rise, leaving a yawning gap in front of Philip. The fairies make a bridge of magic and Samson flies safely over it and out of the castle. Maleficent ascends to the top of her tower.
Hurry! Hurry, Philip!
Maleficent throws a bolt of lightning. Rocks collapse on Philip, but his shield protects him. Another bolt destroys the road in front. And Samson makes another mighty leap to safety.
Forest of thorns shall be his tomb.
Born through the skies on a fog of doom. Now go with a curse and serve me well. Round Stefan's castle, cast my spell.
With her staff, Maleficent spins a black cloud above her head full of flashing light, then casts it whirling above the castle of King Stefan. From the cloud, lightning shoots into the earth, and where it strikes, strong, twisty thorn trees grow, surrounding the castle, tall and thick. Philip gallops to the edge of the thorn forest and halts. Swinging the magic sword of truth, Philip cuts and slashes through the thorns. His cloak gets caught and Merryweather flies to free it. Philip urges Samson to leap forward again. Using his shield to protect him from the thorns, Philip chops and hacks through the dense forest. At last he can see the castle. He pauses for a moment. Leaning forward on Samson, he gallops towards the castle.
No! It cannot be!
Maleficent spins herself into a disc of purple and gold and lands herself again in front of Philip.
Now shall you deal with me, O prince, and all the powers of hell!
Maleficent shoots upwards, becoming a gigantic dragon. Philip stares up, mouth agape, and the fairies back away. The mighty dragon has a black back and purple belly. Flora holds Merryweather back, but Philip gallops full pelt at the dragon, which shoots a blast of flame at him. Philip takes the blast on his shield, but it knocks him off his horse. Another blast shoves him back into the forest. The dragon bends and Philip strikes at it. With Philip in the thorns, the dragon can't get at him, and Philip strikes again. One long flaming blast sets the thorns ablaze and Philip backs away from the flames until he reaches a rocky cliff.
Up! Up this way!
Flora shows Philip the way up the cliff. The dragon follows and on the cliff top, Philip cuts and slashes at the enormous creature, but it forces him back to the very edge. The dragon's in front of him and the blazing forest below. The fairies watch in horror. Philip loses his shield.
Thou sword of truth flies swift and sure, that evil die and good endure.
Philip hurls the sword, which sticks deep into the dragon's purple chest. The dragon lunges at Philip, who dodges aside. The cliff crumbles beneath its weight and it crashes down into the forest. Philip peers down from the cliff. The fire has gone out. On the forest floor, his sword is sticking up from a stain of black and purple. Samson trots up to Philip. The fairies hover behind him. He looks towards the castle. The sun comes out, the heavy clouds above the castle disappear, and it begins to glow in its usual colors. The thorn forest just fades away. In the castle courtyard, the people are still, deep in their magic sleep, just as they were. Philip gazes up to the turret on the tallest tower, which begins to glow in the sunlight. Inside, the three tiny fairies flit up the stone stairs ahead of Philip, who races up them two at a time. When he reaches Aurora's chamber, he pauses for a moment, walks slowly to her bed and kneels beside it. He looks down at her pale, lifeless face, leans forward, and kisses her lips. Philip smiles as the color returns to Aurora's face. Her eyelids flutter open and she smiles up at him. Merryweather claps her hands. Flora and Fauna hug each other. Outside, the water in the fountain starts flowing. The people slowly wake up, looking confused. On his throne, King Stefan comes to and looks down at Hubert, still fast asleep beside him.
Forgive me, Hubert. The wine. Now, were saying?
Huh? I was? Oh, yes. Well, after all, Stefan, this is the 14th century.
Yes, you said that a moment ago.
Well, to come right to the point, my son Philip says he's going to marry...
They look up at the royal trumpeters. Meriwether beckons Flora and Fauna onto a balcony to watch Philip coming down the grand staircase with Aurora in her blue dress beside him, her hand through his arm.
It's Aurora! She's here!
Aurora and Philip smile at each other, and King Hubert stares, rubs his eyes, and stares again.
And Philip!
Aurora and Philip stop in front of the throne. He bows and she curtsies before she runs forward and hugs her mother. Tears trickle down the Queen's cheeks. The fairies smile. Fauna wipes away a tear, and Hubert stomps up to Philip.
What does this mean, boy? I don't understand.
Aurora leans down and kisses Hubert on the cheek. He looks amazed and delighted. Philip and Aurora have begun to dance, gazing into each other's eyes and smiling.
I don't understand.
He looks at Stefan, who is smiling at the Queen and swaying in time to the music. He looks up at the fairies, who are gazing down happily at the dancers. He shrugs his shoulders, shakes his head, smiles, and starts to sway as well. Aurora and Philip glide smoothly around the wide throne room, his red cloak and her blue dress swirling, with all the courtiers watching them from the sides of the room. Fauna holds a hanky to her eyes.
Why, Fauna, what's the matter, dear?
Oh, I just love happy endings.
Yes, I do too. Blue!
She frowns fiercely as she looks down at Aurora and waves her wand.
Pink!
The dress changes to pink. Meriwether opens her eyes and frowns. The dress becomes blue again. And pink. And blue. Aurora's dress changes from pink to blue and back again as she and Prince Philip dance into the clouds. They stop dancing and Philip draws Aurora to him and they kiss. The picture of the two lovers kissing comes to a standstill. The last page of the Book of Sleeping Beauty, which slowly closes. The End, a Walt Disney production.